Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whatever time zone you're in. This is Patricia Eltinge here tonight with Kelly Ward, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. Dr. Pat Allen's groundbreaking work in empowered communication through the WANT Institute. And first of all, I want to tell you, for the call-in people, the number is 323-203-0815. So when you call in, you won't get anyone to answer, but your number will be put in the queue and you will be called back in order of the calls. So don't get discouraged. You'll be next. Anyway, hi, Kelly. Are you here with me, Kelly? Okay. So we are here to take your calls, but I first want to tell you a little bit about the WANT Institute, and that was developed by Dr. Pat Allen to give instructions on the principles of communicating with personal integrity to help everyone achieve their goals in all aspects of their life, professionally and their romantic relationships, and have win-win situations in everyday activities. So that's what the WANT Institute is about. And for more information about wanting to join groups or private sessions, you can call the office 949-723-0338 or email info@drpatallen.com. That's info@drpatallen.com. And we are taking calls tonight and talking about relationships, and I also offer dreams. So anyone who's interested in dreams and their communication issues in their personal relationships and their business relationships, all communication is based on how we relate to others and from where we're coming from. So what do you have to say tonight, Kelly?
I have to say that's precisely correct. And in recent moments, two of my ladies are doing what I call riding the center line. And that would be tolerating. So we have been working on accept, reject, but do not tolerate. What do you think about that?
Well, tolerating is a surefired way to ruin a relationship, because that's on the fence of rumination and bouncing back and forth between accept and reject. So you're not accepting and you're not rejecting, and that will create a tremendous amount of anxiety within yourself. And we need to come to the place where we accept the person, accept we may not like or approve of whatever they're saying or doing at any given moment, but we choose to either accept them or reject them entirely, and we don't want them in our lives and we choose not to love them, and then we reject them. But tolerating, as you said, Kelly, is murder.
Well, I have put them on what I call the 30-day evaluation role. And so they had to set calendars and mark each day with whether or not they were 51% valuable. So yesterday was the start day. Now we only have 29 days in this month, so you better be good, or you never know.
how they choose to accept them too. How they, it's how you feel. So when you're doing that calendar, you will say, how do I feel? If you're coming from the feminine, how do I feel about how I was treated today, or how this person is treating me, how I feel about them? And that is either a plus or a minus. And as you said, Kelly, if they're at least 51% valuable on their worst day, then that's still a plus day. That's still a plus. If they go below 50% that day, then it's a minus, right?
Yeah. And I often tell them too, I said, you have to remember something. You have to evaluate yourself as well, because if you're having an off day, that may reflect back through how they behave and how they act. So you have to analyze yourself as well. So that is another thing I'm implementing. How did you act today? Did you feel you were 51% valuable, or were you, you know, having PMS, or did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, or, you know, because everybody has off days. So, but you know, it's action and reaction and how we, you know, control that.
And did you disrespect your man? If you disrespected your man and he retaliated by not cherishing you, that's what you reap what you sow. So that's part of it too. Exactly. Are you respecting your man enough to, in order to be cherished?
100%. That is why I've started this new calendar system with my ladies, because, you know, like I said, sometimes you wake up, you're got PMS, you're just generally mad, the coffee didn't come out right, or, you know, your tea brewed wrong, or just one little thing, and the next thing you know, you're snotty, you're creepy, you're mean, you're rude. So people react to that. And so then I say, well, what was your behavior like? Were you respectful? Were you disrespectful? Were you whiny? Were you teaching and preaching and bitching and moaning? What were you doing? So I think that the self-analyzation thing should be an interesting concept. It's the first time I've really made them do their own calendar of how were you 51% valuable. So,
excellent.
You know,
excellent.
It's an overlay for you know, gauging your partner value on any given day.
It's a great tool, because what you're really doing is be in touch with their own feelings. So it's not like as if you're analyzing them. You are a feel, which is feminine. Feelings are feminine. And you're not coming from your head. You're coming from your feelings. How do I feel about this person today? Do I feel good enough? Do I feel 51% good enough about this person today? And so I like to impart that too, that it comes from how you feel.
So speaking of tools, the new tool, mm-hmm. Where Did You Go? Mm-hmm. This is gaining some interesting momentum with some of these women who are not understanding, you know, I don't want to call it catfishing, or, well, maybe ghosting for sure.
Well, online dating, especially during this online dating period, it's people feel like they're being ghosted.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a downward trend in the online dating world. I'm seeing a trend where my ladies are reaching out to me and saying, I just don't want to do this online thing anymore. And I say, okay, well, let's figure out what you can do, you know, to present. And, you know, 5-second flirt.
Tracked.
They all freak mm-hmm. out at the 5-second flirt. They're like, I can't look at somebody for 5 seconds. It's uncomfortable. I said, yes. Yes, it is.
You know why it's uncomfortable? Because this day and age of technology and the popularity of online dating has really taken away the person-to-person meeting. And this is the old-fashioned way is really the best, because you will also sense chemistry. You cannot sense chemistry on a picture or even on a voice speaking to someone. You need to, the chemistry is physical. It's in person. So you start by, yes, Kelly, the start by the flirting and get them to come over and talk to you by smiling, and the 5 second smiling, and gets, and someone comes over to you and says, "Hi, what are you doing here? Do you come to this Starbucks often?" That's the old fashioned way, but you know what? That works. That's what works with human beings.
So my
here we have a call.
Oh, cool. Just hey,
hello. Good evening, ladies.
Hi. What can we do for you today?
So my question is around, I'm engaged, and my question is,
yay.
What do you guys think about when a man has a bunch of photos of his previous relationships, historical, obviously, on social media and phone? I personally always delete that kind of stuff, but I know a lot of people don't. And I guess sometimes it bothers me, because if I look on there and I see it, and I just wanted to know if it's appropriate to ask them to delete that, or if that's just something I need to
accept. Well, how far are you into your relationship?
So we are engaged.
Oh, engaged. Okay. Okay, so you're engaged. You know, he had a life before you, number one.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, the old-fashioned way was people had photo albums, and they didn't throw out their old life. They had a life before they met you. But oftentimes, that is a negotiable area. Now, are you offended by it? Or do you feel threatened? Do you? I want to know what your feelings are, and your bodily feelings about seeing his previous life before you.
I think it's not that I'm offended,
I want to hear how you felt, a feeling.
Sure. I feel like it's just.
No, that's an assessment that comes from your head. I want to know how you feel in your body. Do you feel threatened? Do you feel jealous? Those are feelings.
Jealous. Mm-hmm. Yes, I feel just uncomfortable, jealous.
Jealousy. Okay, so you have a feeling of jealousy. That's feminine. And so what you can do is say to him, I understand. First of all, you ask for a time. I have something sensitive to talk to you about. And he says, now is fine. Okay. I just want you to know that when I see the pictures of your past girlfriends or ladies on Facebook, it brings up feelings of jealousy for me. That's an honest, feeling-centered statement. And you can say, okay. What would be your goal, to ask him to take them off? Then I'll tell you the rest of the sentence.
Yeah, it's just to remove them.
Okay, so you say, brings up feelings of jealousy. I feel jealous. It brings up feelings of jealousy for me. But by the way, jealousy is just a sign that you love somebody. And there's a book on that, by the way, called The Evolution of Desire. And
I've read that.
Okay, so, and you ask him, would you be willing to do something about that to help me feel better? And you see what he suggests without telling him what to do. See if he wants to do something about it to help you feel better. Kelly?
Let me play the devil's advocate here. Well, let me ask you a question. What's on your page?
I've always deleted every photo I've ever taken with an ex-boyfriend.
Let me give you my example. I have an ex-husband who is the father of my kids. And if I took down every picture of him off of Facebook, I would be taking down so many pictures of joyous times for my children, and it seems hurtful. So,
yeah,
just coming from a different angle, if somebody said to me, okay, you know, I don't like these pictures up there, you know, I may archive them and put them in a folder away from just my normal photo area, but I would never take them down because they were part of my life and part of who I am.
Of course. So, of course. Right. That's that situation. You have kids with a husband, and that's very understandable. If he just was a dating fool and he had lots of dates and he was a serial dater and these are just like his conquests, and it brings up feelings of jealousy for you, or you live with it and handle your jealousy.
And remember also, he's engaged to you. He's going to marry you.
Yes.
He comes home to you. He sleeps with you.
You're the one he's marrying. So those were his dalliances. Those were his date. That was his dating life. And guess what? You're the one who got him.
Right. Well, I mean, there's not like a ton of them. He doesn't he tells me Facebook isn't important to him. So I think he just doesn't think about deleting stuff like that. But then I go on there and I see it and I know that my
it's not continuing. It's not current. It's just on his page from history. You can, right? It's
historical. They're like profile photos of him and his longtime ex-girlfriend of like him and her together, like hugging and like being close and like, and they're just,
that's a little different. It's on his profile page. And that was a longtime girlfriend. That just wasn't dates. That's not like serial dates. Then you can say that I'm uncomfortable with that because I feel like I'm your primary relationship now. And I'm not comfortable with people thinking that that's possibly your primary relationship.
Right. That's my concern is that if people that I know that I'm engaged, I go like, look at that. And they think, oh, he has all these photos of his ex-girlfriend. What's up with that? And it just feels a little awkward.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, I don't want to use the word. I want you to stick with your feelings because your feelings are more important. He would honor your. He'd be more apt to honor your feelings than a demand.
Right.
You understand?
Yes, I agree. I do. Totally.
Okay.
Okay, that helps.
So you don't want to give demands. You don't want demands. You just want to express feelings, bodily sensations.
One, the other question I have too around that is not just the social media, but once he was looking through his phone photos and I just saw that he had a lot of photos of her, just like, you know, just of her alone, just still on his phone. And I was like, I didn't say anything about it. I just felt jealous.
Well, I'm glad you did. It's okay. Thank you for sharing that you didn't say anything. That's a step in the right direction by not bitching and moaning to somebody, but you did feel your feelings of jealousy come up, and that's feminine. And that just means you love him, by the way. That's not a terrible thing, but you can, in an appropriate way, say that you're uncomfortable with him displaying pictures of his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, even just keeping them on his own devices, as far as the photos.
No,
it's not something I see.
You mean on his photo file? In his photo files?
On his business. On his like camera, like on his app.
No, that's his business. No. Don't. That's like having a photo album. That's you have to live with that.
So that's
darling.
Off limits.
Yeah, his own photo album is his business, off limits to you. Yes.
Okay, so but the social media ones, since that's public, that can be up for a debate or negotiation.
A negotiation based on your feelings.
Based on
not your Got thoughts it. Or assessment.
Okay, perfect.
Very good.
That helped.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
All right, bye. Oh,
bye.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so all these little details that people have to navigate their relationships and how they feel, ladies, how they feel from day to day. And the men, they don't always know, right, Kelly? They're just guys. They don't do it on purpose to hurt your feelings. But
yeah, I don't think the guys really focus that much on that kind of stuff. And I don't think it's something that occurs to them.
Right. It doesn't occur to them. So it's not for us to be mad at them because it doesn't occur to them. It's just for us to express ourselves in an appropriate way, which is coming from our feelings.
That's another thing that's interesting because one of my ladies about 2 weeks ago said to me, well, I want to know who he was with before. I want to know what his relationships are like. I said, that is the most dangerous place you ever sail into. That is like sailing into rocky waters with no lighthouse. Why would you want to know that? That is a part of a person's past. You want to share your details of your love affairs with him? Well, no. I said, then why would you want to hear that? What is your stance on that? What is your stance on that?
Terrible. It's bad news. And what a person's past is only what led them to be with you now. So all of our past is was our personal growth to get to where we are right now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
100%. Including all of our mistakes.
I was like you want like the down and dirty details? Well, yeah. And I'm like,
absolutely
that's just
not.
That's a big no.
That's so asking for trouble, and that's asking for you to get reasons to hate him or be mad at him. It's don't go there.
You know what I call that? I call that the things that you put in Pandora's box so you can later open it and say, well, you did this, this, and this. You know, it's like, you know, you're fixing for a fight. You know, you got your fist doubled up. Like, if that's what you're worried about, like, his past, everybody has.
We don't want to build a case against somebody when. So let's just keep a clean slate, let people's past be their past. And whatever they choose to share with us, they share with us.
I would not like to have any of that part of it shared with me personally.
But they do. They you can't stop someone if they want to tell you something about their past. But you can. You can say, I appreciate you want to tell me about your past girlfriend, but to be perfectly honest, I don't need to know. But thank them for offering first.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But one of the things, you know, it's like, why are you wanting to share this?
You don't need to. Don't ask why.
I don't need to know this.
Here we go. We have a caller. Hi.
Hi, it's me, the lady.
Oh, good. Hi, me. We know you.
Where
are you at now? Let's see where we're at.
Yes, we're going to premarital counseling.
I love hearing this.
Yes, we're going to premarital counseling. Our first class is next Thursday.
Beautiful. Oh, my dear. You've done such a good job with us here and keeping us abreast of all your phases.
Yes. So I have a question. I just want to get you ladies' opinion. Mm-hmm. I haven't said anything. Like, I like to roller. I think I mentioned him last time. I like to roller skate. He likes to dance. We met at a club, actually, and he wants to come roller skating. And he hasn't met my family, and he hasn't gone roller skating with me because I've been skating 30 years, and I have my roller skate family, or my skate family, and then I have my blood family. Mm-hmm. I told him, you know, after we go through the counseling and we've gotten engaged and set a date, I will bring you around my family. I have never brought anybody around my family in the last 30 years or maybe 40 years. Mm-hmm. So he said he understood and he was okay with that. So then he said, I will, then while you skate, since you're skating, I will go dancing. So, ooh, of course, I have my feelings about that because that's how we met. And men who go dancing and they're married
are dancing with the partner. Yeah, that doesn't feel good. That wouldn't feel good. So it didn't feel good to you.
Right.
So how can we go dancing with him rather than go skating? Can we pick our man over our sport?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I pressed the button. I don't know what button.
I would like to see you choose your man over your sport when it comes to this type of thing. Not that you're never going to skate again, but I'd like you to put him in the number one position over your sport and put skating on a different level than you had when you were single.
Okay.
And so what can does you that say, look like day to day? You, it looks like I'd rather go dancing with you, love.
Okay.
I'd love to go dancing with you and I'll skate another time. When would be a good time? When do you think you can skate, which would not be a time when he would go dancing with other women, for goodness sake?
Yeah. I wasn't telling him that my skating comes before him and dancing. That's just something I do.
I
singly.
Know it is, but it seems like it. It seems like it to a man. That's how he will read it. Well, if you're doing so that.
That was his reaction. That was his reaction to you going skating. He was like, well, then when you're skating, I'll go dancing.
You say, I'd rather go dancing with you in that case.
Okay.
And when can you skate that would be a time when he's doing something other than potentially dancing? Is there some other thing?
Yeah, I skate on Sunday and Monday.
Days or nights?
Yeah, both of them are at night.
Well, that's not so good if you're engaged and you're going to be married.
Have nighttime skating in a couple of weeks. Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay. So
You've created this skating thing at a time when you were single. There may be a time when you will be skating less and find daytimes where you can skate that is not going to interfere with your man and to create him to be jealous or resentful of you skating. Can you skate during the day sometime?
Yeah. I can skate Saturday morning, afternoon, and Sunday afternoon. Yeah,
I think you're asking for trouble to do this nighttime skating when you're just going into a marriage.
Okay, I understand. So
wait a minute. Will he not go skating with you, or have you not invited him to go skating with you?
Yes, he can go skating with me, and I have not invited him to go skating with me.
Well, darling, let's invite him to go skating.
Okay, ladies, I go.
And then also, you know, you're going roller skating, right? It's roller skating?
Yes.
Okay, well, here's the thing. They even have, like, special nights at the roller rink in my town where it's couples roller skating where they dance skate, you know, almost like figure skate dancing. But how about that? That's the best of both worlds if they had something like that where you guys could dance and skate.
And he could, he's just learning, if he's not proficient at it.
Right.
You focus on him when you take him skating, not just zooming around with your friends that you've done it with all this time when you were single.
Right.
I suggest you go to the skating, let your friends meet him and see that you are partnered and you're going to be focused on him and get him up to speed on skating.
Okay. So basically
don't think single. Think partnered.
I got it.
If you're going to premarital counseling, maybe it is time he meets your family.
Because that's
pretty committed for a man to go to premarital counseling. I'm going to say that he's in 100%.
Okay.
Okay.
Or 99.9%.
Right.
All right. So
he's like a bar of ivory soap. 99.9% pure.
Yes, you go. Gotcha. So there you go.
Gotcha. All right. So I can do that. I can do that.
Very
it's
good.
Scary, but,
I know, darling, because you're going to start thinking like a married lady, not like a single lady who just dates.
Right. Okay. So he says that, I think I've mentioned this before, he says that occasionally his daughters will ask him for money and his older sister will ask him for money. And he's mentioned that he would like for us to have a joint account. So I just say okay to those things. And I told him that I'm not keeping track of what he does with his children, that I'm just concerned about the agreements that we have together and we make together. Is that right?
Yes, very good. So your joint account is not going to be paying for his sister and his daughter. That's your household stuff.
That's what he said. He said the joint account, he made it seem like he would be taking money from there. And he said, and I will let you know. We'll discuss it. That's what he said.
Well, that's all part of the premarital negotiations. And you can find that in Dr. Pat Allen's book, Getting to I Do, Chapter 14. And if you want us to do it, if you want to call the office sometime, we can go over it with you and have send you out a format. And then you call in for to help get help negotiating these various items, time, space, money, and play. My time, your time, our time, space, out my space, your space, our space. Money, my money, your money, our money. Those are all part of the negotiations for being partnered, right, whether you're married or legally or not.
Right. Okay. So when it comes to the money part, he and I, we haven't talked about like money in specifically for us, but what I was thinking is that whatever money he has before we got together and whatever money I have before we get together is not up for discussion, and that we're starting from zero as far as money is concerned together. Is that right?
Well, that's how you negotiate it. Everything is negotiated. This is why we do. I send at the office, Sue would send out a sheet and you fill out your individual wants and not wants in this form, and then you come together and see how they mesh, and that's where the negotiating begins.
Gotcha.
For example,
you
might have a joint account that takes care of household expenses, but then he might have a personal account, and you may have a personal account, which is your prior money that you aren't putting into the pot. And then if he wants to pay his sisters or his daughters, he can pay it out of his personal account instead of out of you guys' joint account, which would be for like paying the mortgage and paying for groceries and things like that.
Right. That's the way I see it.
That's what you negotiate. That's when you come to the table and discuss the money issue. People do it differently. Some men don't want the woman. Her money is her money and he pays for everything. But everything is negotiable. Some people come to the table and they put in everything equal. Some people do percentages. If the man or the woman, whoever earns more money, pays a higher percentage of the bills. So there are different ways to negotiate it.
Okay.
That's why Chapter 14 and Getting to I Do is so incredibly important.
Yes.
Yeah, I have the book. I've read 14 many times, but not with this kind of eye looking at it. Relationship.
Yeah, well, you're getting there. You're getting close to needing to negotiate these things.
So definitely reread Chapter 14 and look at it with that eye, with your mindset and the fact that you're going to be, you know, physically and financially joined to another human being.
Okay.
Yes, it is scary, but you can do it. Look how far you've come.
Yes, that's true. Last year, you know, who didn't want a relationship. I'm like, okay.
You've come a long way, baby, okay?
Yes, I have. Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for keeping us posted.
Okay, I will. Bye-bye.
Very good. Very good.
I love that.
Yeah.
And going to premarital counseling.
Oh, hello. Somebody here?
Yep.
No, well, you're gone, right? We're waiting for another caller. You can check out.
No, is this the LA Talk Radio?
Yes, your new caller. Thank you. Okay, I didn't see you come in.
Sorry.
Hello, we are here for you.
Oh, gosh, I feel so nervous. Thank you.
Good.
So I've been dating someone for about 3 months, and he knows what I want, engagement, marriage, family, mm-hmm. and he's a little bit younger than me, so it's a different dynamic.
How much younger?
But we've got only a few years. So I'm 37. He is 34.
Oh, that's, I'm normally that's just, you're basically you're the same. Yeah, you're basically the same age.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I thought you meant like 20 years younger. Okay. Go
oh
ahead.
No. No, it's just more that I tend to date guys in their 40s. So
okay,
it feels like it's very different.
Okay, so you have a 34-year-old and you're 37. Very good. Okay.
Yep. And the first couple of months, it was great. It felt like we were moving towards something. And then the last mm-hmm. month, it's kind of plateaued. And it just feels like I've been drifting. And I've done a lot of the work to go back into my feminine energy. So I really crave that masculine man who leads and drives the relationship. And so I've made sure not to be pushing or controlling in any mm-hmm. way. But he's not someone that I feel like necessarily is great at leading. And so we've had a number of conversations around that, especially when it comes to organizing a date or, you know, a lot of the basic things. And then we had a conversation recently around why we were drifting. And
How long have you been together?
It's been about 3 months. So we're not official. Dating.
You're just still dating. 3 months is the rosy period, but you're not having sex yet.
No, well, we did once, and then I said that I didn't want to unless I was in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Unless you were in a long-term relationship. Uh-huh. Monogamous, yes. Going yes. towards a goal. Okay. So that being said, you're still, that's what, it's not drifting. You're just going into the next phase, dear, which is the negotiating phase, the second trimester. And so,
yeah, it just, mm-hmm. so I guess I'm in two places. One is, okay, well, unless he drives it and it becomes something more than we're just dating, in which case mm-hmm. I'm still single and available for other options. The mm-hmm. other part of me feels like it's been 3 months. I still feel like we're going nowhere. I'm not feeling like he's necessarily a strong masculine energy and sometimes feel like he wants me to drive things, which is not who I want to be. And I guess I'm torn because I feel like my belief is that men generally know what they want. And if they want something, then they'll go for it. And if he's still umming and ahhing at this point, then maybe this is not quite right.
Well, that's not, you're doing it like an assessment. Are you dating other people? Are you open for dating other people?
Yeah. So I started dating other people again.
Okay.
Which is good. I mean, I haven't really met anyone that's that interesting, but I'm still putting myself out there and going.
And he's dating as well. If you're open
no.
for dating, then. Hmm.
Yeah, so he knows that I'm only exclusive in a relationship, but he doesn't want to date anyone else. So he's only been dating me.
So he's dating you, and you're open for dating else out.
Yes,
other
and
people.
Yet he still hasn't claimed me yet.
Well, that's all you can do is start dating. If you want him to come forward, he will sense it when you have two other people you're dating, and he's number one. If you want to. have him be your number one, and then you have a number two and a number three.
So do I just keep staying? I guess I feel like I'm at a point where it's not feeling that good for me anymore to keep drifting with him. Even though, yes, I'm available to other men, I feel like I'm either in something or I'm not.
Well, then you're losing.
Is that me controlling or having a boundary?
Yeah, no, that's you thinking you want it to go faster than it's going, than this guy can go. So I suggest you date two other people, and it's like the Olympics, and may the best man win. Go get a couple of other people and see if somebody else wins your heart and wins you. If he's not, because that's the only way he's going to step up is if he feels the competition.
So just keep staying until it...
You're not staying or going. You're just dating. You're dating, and you can date him and date two other people or more. Go date.
Yeah, because he may think he may not want to date somebody else, but if you feel like the situation isn't going the direction that you wanted to, you can still date him.
Because you're not in a sexual relationship. You told us that you are not having sex. You set your boundary of what you want in life, and you can always have a timeline. You can
stay with you're 37 and you want to have a family, so it's, you're right, it's time to start. So I totally get what you're saying. He's hemming and hawing, even though he knows that's your goal. So you're going to have to look for other people to date that have the same focus of wanting a family. If you were just not wanting to have a family, like such as children, you could wait as long as you wanted. But, I hate to say it because, I know that ladies are getting to have children way later in life now than they used to. But there's the risk factor is there. With respect to, getting pregnant and having a child. So,
absolutely.
So you can always say to him, I really have a lot of chemistry with you. I have stated my long-term goals to be partnered, whether it be with you or somebody. And I'm not getting the sense that we're on the same page. So I don't want to lead you on or have you not be able to fulfill your goals because I don't seem to know what your goals are. You haven't shared with me your goals for your life goals.
He sort of wants the same thing. It's just that my timeline is shorter than his.
Oh, well, now you're taking over. That's masculine. Now you want to just take over and say, you're not doing it fast enough for me.
In the sense that he's asked me, when I would like marriage and kids, and his response to that was, that's a little bit faster than he would originally want. And I said, that's totally okay. But that's generally what I would, I'd want to be engaged within a year.
Then you say, I want to be engaged and work on start having a family within a year. That's it. And then the ball's in his court and you're out there dating, please.
So should I keep him there? I guess I'm at a point where I feel like
you can always write him a hi-bye letter and then you don't see him anymore. If you're willing to not see him, then you do write the hi-bye letter and say, I just wanted to tell you that I don't want to lead you on anymore because I'm my timeline seems to be faster than yours and I don't want to lead you on. So that's that. And you have to say goodbye and then be willing to not date him anymore if you're willing to do that.
Yeah, I think that's maybe more where I am.
Well, and that's the humane thing to do too. Because he wants to date longer and you want to get pregnant within married and pregnant within a year.
Yeah.
So?
Okay, all right. So the way to approach it would be the hi-bye letter format.
And then you have to, you risk saying goodbye and goodbye, period.
Yeah.
Goodbye. It means you're not going to date him.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to date somebody who you've been developing a relationship with who wasn't as fast as you. Are you prepared to do that?
Yes.
Okay. In that case, then be humane. Put him back in the pond.
And the high-bye letter may have the high-bye letter, when he sees it in writing, may have the effect that he reassesses whether or not
he wants to
step up his timeline.
Right. That's right.
And,
so that's
and,
what that does.
And therefore, he may come back and say, you know what? I don't want to be without you.
Can you do the high-bye letter as a conversation? Or is it better to do it as a...
Oh, no. It's a letter, and it can be an email or a mailed letter.
Okay.
Not
a... Or even a
I'm supposed to see him tomorrow, so I was planning on having a conversation.
No, this is not a conversation. This is a definitive line in the sand, if you're prepared to do that. You can have a preliminary conversation tomorrow, but not the full high-bye letter format. You can say preliminarily, I'm just letting you know that I don't want to continue us leading each other on when we haven't really defined our goals, our personal goals with each other.
Okay, because I mean, the last conversation that we had was he thought we were moving towards being official, but there always seems to be some sort of emotional block with him from actually making it official and moving
the
forward.
The only thing that he is going to understand is the high-bye letter in the written form, because are you familiar with what, have you ever done one?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so you know the format.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what it's going to take for him to, as we say, shit or get off the pot.
Okay, great. So either I just do the high-bye letter or I have a preliminary conversation with him tomorrow and then the high-bye letter.
Yes.
Depending on the outcome of that conversation.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's really helpful.
Make sure when you're with him tomorrow, you make the appointment and tell him the subject matter, because it's not fair.
I have a sensitive topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we had a conversation last week, and I was planning on saying, just want to have a follow-up conversation to that.
I want to have a sensitive conversation and follow-up last week. Is this a good time?
Okay. Yep. Perfect. I'll do that.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Thank you. That was really helpful.
Keep us posted. Let us know how it turns out.
Okay, I will do. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Best of luck.
Well, not everyone, right, Kelly? Not everyone's on the same time frame as each other. And this is how it works out.
It is. It's true. Sometimes, you know, you just get to a point where you have to go. You know, you have to. I understand her point. You know, because
she's at an age where she can be harvesting her eggs, but she doesn't want to be waiting to be pregnant when she's past her
prime egg time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like chickens.
Women do have a biological clock.
Right, we stop laying as many eggs, and then pretty soon the eggs are weird. And you know, I raise chickens, so I get it. So you know, that's the thing, and it is difficult because each year that passes, there's a risk factor involved with respect to getting pregnant and having a child. I mean, there's always a risk to getting pregnant and having a child, as we all know. But the risk factor for you know, birth defects and Down syndrome and things like that do increase. So I'm always like, okay, like if, you know, she wants to move forward, like you said, or otherwise you're going to have to freeze your eggs.
So So this is a big issue these days in modern times of women postponing. They're having careers and postponing having families until it's down to the wire.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a risk factor. Not only that, there's other factors too when you really look at it and you go, okay, if I have a child when I'm 40, when they're 10, I'm 50. And when they're graduating high school, I'm almost 60. And when they're graduating college, I'm 65, 68, 70. So there's that factor too. You know, toddlers are a pain in the butt. I would not want a toddler now at my age. It'd
be a little exhausting, but some people can handle it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to again let people know how to get in touch with us. And they have there's ladies groups, there's ongoing ladies groups, there are private sessions and dream analysis and hi-bye letters and
couples counseling.
Couples counseling and on through the Want Institute. And that's info@drpatallen.com and the office number 949-723-0338. And I'll put in a little plug for my book here, which is The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, all about dreams. And then, Kelly, do you have any last words? And then I'll give a last thought.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, everybody. Reach out to Susie. If you have any questions, she'll direct you to where you need to go with respect to the materials and how we can help you based on what you're looking for. We love you so much.
Sounds good. And I'll give the last words of wisdom, which are from the ancient philosopher Lao Tzu. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. And that is in all of your relationships, in the business, at the doctor's, at the lawyer's, and every aspect of your life. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.